Praise the Lord. I know he did you bad, but go ahead and praise the Lord. Come on and shout yes. He made you look like a failure. Had everybody talking about you, but that's okay. Let them keep talking until they talk about this. I got victory in the face of defeat. Yesterday I was defeated, but I came back with power. Holy Ghost power. Say yes here. Y'all with me now? Come on and glorify his name. And I'm about to close now. But the Bible says that whenever they went to the city, they took the king of the city. They hung him up on a cross so they let everybody know, don't mess with Joshua or the children of Israel. In other words, they hung him there as a testimony that you might get one victory, but you may win a battle. Come on and shout a yes here. I know the devil might have won a battle, but we win the war. Come on and shout hallelujah. I may have lost this one battle, but it don't mean I lost the war. I'm still in the fight. Come on and shout glory. Are you still in the fight? I know you've been knocked down, but get back up. I know you've been pushed back, but step back forward. I know they had you discouraged and disappointed and depressed, but get up. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, get up and let's fight this battle. This battle is not yours. It belongs to God. Say yes. It looks like I'm losing. Come on and shout glory. Tell your neighbor. Say neighbor. That's the wrong neighbor. Tell your other neighbor. Say neighbor. It looks like I'm losing, but this is just a plan, a divine plan. Come on and shout glory. I know it looks like I'm sick, but I'm still well. I know it looks like I'm broke, but he said, let the rich or let the poor say that I'm rich. Come on and shout yes. I know it looks like I'm weak, but he said, let the weak say I'm strong. Shout yeah. Shout yeah. Shout yeah. And he all right. Let me tell you another story. It looked like Jesus had just lost the battle when they hung him on the cross and they took him down.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights. 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe. With the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And let's look at verse number 20. Luke number 2, verse 20. And the record is, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. For just a little while, I got to tell the story. I got to tell the story. One reason why folk can't tell a story is because many times they've not gotten a story. But when you've got a story to tell, as grand and glorious as this story is that is before us today, you've got to open your mouth up and say something about someone who has come to give himself to you that you might be in a right place and state with our Heavenly Father. Look at this word, if you will, brothers and sisters, and let's walk back a little bit, if you don't mind, and understand the tidings of great joy that comes beginning in verse 8 of this second chapter. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." As we start here, we recognize that the shepherds were doing what shepherds do, and that was to watch over, to protect and to provide for and to keep the sheep in a place of peace. And it was in the night watch that the angel of the Lord saw shepherds doing what they do on a daily basis. One of the things that you're going to recognize again as we realize the significance of shepherds in this Christmas story is the fact that Jesus Christ himself both puts himself in the position of shepherd and as sacrificial lamb. One of the things that you'll recognize is the fact that the shepherds who are watching over the sheep, who are also likened unto the people of God, were watching over those who had been given to their charge even through the dark hours of the night. The record is, verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." In other words, this wasn't no regular night watch. And I got news for somebody. Whenever the Lord shows up, things change. The things that were just mundane and regular became spectacular and supernatural on this night when the angelic messenger came to deliver a message to the shepherds who were watching over the flock. Verse 10 says, "And the angel said unto them," which suggested it wasn't one shepherd, but many shepherds doing the work of, and it was indicative of and in connection with the purpose of having shepherds know that it is their responsibility, and it has increased in responsibility from just watching over sheep to including challenging folk to come to Christ, who is the true shepherd to all sheep. Look at what the word says, because I want you to know. "The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold," focus in, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now see this story as it actually is, and even as the Spirit of God intended it to be. While we see back on that night some 2,000 years ago and we think of the shepherds on that cold night watching over the flock, it is a symbolization of the fact that these shepherds would also be commissioned to tell the world that the Savior has come, representing preachers and pastors and people and evangelists and witnesses and missionaries and all who would have the call upon their lives to share the gospel, and even the body of Christ as members to witness about the story of Jesus Christ, not only that they have experienced in their own lives, but as the Holy Ghost gives them unction to share the story of Christ's coming, it is the responsibility of the entire body to tell the world that the Savior is here. Now look again, because I want you to see this again. again, it says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all men. It started with the shepherds, but it was intended to spread to all mankind. They were there, they were alerted, they were given the first privilege of hearing the story. When they got the message, the birth had already happened. The angels simply directed them to where they could witness it for themselves. And then with this great joy of knowing that the Savior, who would be able through salvation to do everything that God desired to do for his people through him, was finally here, the course of history and nature would certainly be affected by it. Look again at this word. I want you to see verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is, so we don't make no mistake about this, Christ the Lord. Look at verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. This sign was unto the shepherds that night, who were watching over their flocks. And the angel says, this sign shall be unto you. Ye shall find the what? The babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now listen at this, because I want to straighten out. I try to do this as often as I can so that we are not influenced by the world's account of the nativity scene. We need the record straight. This record is clear that the shepherds left their fields and flocks, made it to Bethlehem, found the stable, and in the stable was Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in a feeding trough or a manger. Now understand, when the shepherds were around Jesus, they were different from the wise men presenting gifts to Jesus in a feeding trough as if they were there at the same time. Record shows in scripture that it was nearly 2 years later before the wise men who were seeking Jesus ever found Jesus. And he wasn't in a manger. He wasn't in Bethlehem. As a matter of fact, he was in Nazareth in a house playing with his mother Mary when they showed up at the door. It's important to see scripture and understand it, because the shepherds who were around him in the barn, if you will, in the stable, if you will, in the feeding trough where he lay, were there to honor him because they had gotten news that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem this day. Matter of fact, they were the only ones who had this sign. Nobody else had this sign that you would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Nobody else saw him like that but the shepherds. Somebody ought to hear me here. God gave them a special privilege to be able to see the Son of God the day he got there, so that their joy would not only be great from the angels, but it would be great from the fact that they saw with their own eyes our Lord and Savior in a manger, just as the angels had said. So truly they could say, joy to the world. The Lord, oh, he is come. I saw him with my own eyes. He's laying in a manger. Listen, if you will, let's go. Look. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, I want you to know, after they told the shepherds the story, because you know God is grand and God is glorious, and whenever you have a holy and royal occasion, it is always accompanied by music playing, and those who were singers and those who were praising and glorifying the person or the event. So right after the angel said, listen, I want you to know the Savior is waiting on you. He's in a little barn. He's in a little manger. You'll find him there wrapped in swaddling clothes. And as soon as he got through telling them that, the heavenly choir, just a little bit of it, broke out into a song of praise. But I want you to hear the words that they sang in that song. And the Bible says, again, verse 14, they were saying, glory. That's why I like to call glory. Because you get in some dead churches, you need to call some glory on in there sometimes. Folk can't open up their mouth and praise and worship, but when you say glory. It ain't got to be nobody on the side of you, in front of you. If it's on the inside of you, glory. Now, it's all right to sing it if the angels sing. But just so we're clear about it, so you don't get no big head, it ain't for you. Glory to God. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. Listen at this. In the highs, not to the highest. Glory to God in the highest place of praise, the highest place of worship, the highest essence of glory that can be given to him. Glory to God in the, that means get your best praise on. See, y'all come here sometime and don't realize when you're talking about this great event, this history and life-changing event, if you're going to give him praise, it ought to be glory in the highest. You ought to get your best praise on to thank God for what he, it ought not be no any kind of praise. You blessed, but you ain't that blessed. You need to realize if the angels gave him glory in the highest, what about us? I want you to see this word here. And on earth, peace. Listen at this. Peace. But you say that there is no peace on earth now. No, that's not true. Everybody who knows the peace, he's a prince. Everybody that knows peace, they've got peace under the skin. They've got a peace that passeth. They can be in the midst of a war and they still have peace. They can be fighting and quarreling and cussing and crying all around them, but when they know him, they've got peace. Make folk wonder what's wrong with them when they sit down like everything is all right, when it seems like the world's are falling apart. It's because they've got peace like a river. I wish I had somebody in the house. It's that peace that came to earth. His name is Jesus, that spread peace among those who knew him. Touch your neighbor and say, do you have peace today? I know our country's in a war, but our question is, do you have peace? I know some of you got to go back to a hellish situation, but the question is, do you have peace? I know you're so glad to be off from work today because you got some trouble to go back on, you, but do you have? Some of you in a relationship that's so rocky, you got a rocky road for a relationship, but you got to have. You got some children that's driving you up one wall and down the other, but you ought to have. Oh, I could keep on going, but the question still remains, do you have peace? His name is Jesus. Listen at the text. Goodwill comes after peace. Goodwill. See, when you got peace, you don't mind helping somebody else. I said, when you got peace. When you got peace, you don't mind trying to calm somebody else's storm down. When you got peace. When you got peace, you don't mind being the instrument God uses to try and make things better than they were before. When you got peace. When you got peace, your desire is that all men be blessed. Good will. My will is good toward me. See, everybody that sit in church ain't got goodwill towards you. I know you don't believe there are haters in church and naysayers in church and folk who are messed up in church trying to mess folk up in church, but everybody in church ain't saved ain't got peace. You can be shouting all around them and they, you better not step on my foot. I know that. Because they don't understand the peace. You can be thanking God, lifting up hands. If you hit my hat, it's going to be on. Because they ain't got no. Oh, y'all missing me. You're missing me. You're missing me. When you got peace, you want goodwill. Because that's the reason he came down here in a peaceless world. He who is peace became peace for those who needed peace and became the goodwill toward all men, toward men. Why? Because they could not get it any other way. The will of God perfected and performed in the earth realm presented by the Prince of Peace was designed by God so men would have some good directed that way as only God could do it. Listen at the word. It says, verse 15, and it came to pass. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. As the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. See, when the Lord gives you a vision, a reality, or gives you an understanding, gives you an illumination, it's best that you move upon that. See, God is so big that whatever he says, he can back up. If he tells you it's going to happen, you ought to, with expectancy, not only count it done, but go and make sure it's just like he said. You see, that's faith in God's book. When God tells you something and you moved up on it because he said it. Listen, he said it, they believed it, and then they saw it. Let me say that again. He said it. Angels tell him he's here. Angel tells the shepherds that the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, is here. They heard the word first. Listen, after they heard the word, they believed the word. After they believed the word, they acted upon the word. Listen at me well, because this is a principle at play here. Because when God gives you a word, it's always to be acted upon. It's to be used. God gives you insight. He gives you illumination. He gives you understanding. Why? What's the purpose? So that you can enact the word that you have gotten, so that your life can be elevated to another level, so that you who are blessed can be a blessing to others. Listen at the text again. The Bible says in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with what?
Haste.
And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I want you to know they made haste. Because once you believe it, then there's no reason why you can't move upon it immediately. You see, they could have waited till the next morning. They could have waited till later that week. They could have waited and then Mary and Joseph and the babe be removed from that place and say, well, the Lord must have been lying to us. Some of us miss God because of seasons, because of timing. We miss God because he told you today, but you waited till tomorrow. He told you this Sunday and you want to wait till next Sunday. He told you right now and you say, Lord, I'll catch it later. Some of us will miss God because we don't get the revelation that when God calls you now, he wants you to come now. I learned that, and that didn't have no spiritual application at all in my mama's house. I learned early at a young age that when she called my name, Brother Jack. I figured that when she called my name, there was more to come, so I was waiting. And I learned that when she called my name, she didn't want me to say hi, what, or anything like that. When she called my name, she wanted me to come. And if she learned, I learned this, I learned that if she had to call my name more than once, I didn't have to come to her. That's what I learned. And it wasn't long after that, I learned how that thing went every time she called my name. She wanted me to come. And I'm saying that to say that she must have got this from the word of the Lord. She must have got that principle, and many mothers must have gotten that principle, because when the Lord calls you then, he wants you to respond then, not not later, not ask him what you want, not ask him why can't you wait till later, but respond immediately by answering the call by coming. And so these men received this information, this inspiration, and couldn't stay where they were. They moved immediately to see this great thing that the Lord had done. See, I got news for you. God's going to do what he's got to do, and it's already done, but you delaying it might miss the witnessing of it. If it's already done, he's got the power to do it. He was just calling them as witnesses to see what he had already done. Listen. The word says very simply, verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Look again. When they had seen it. Why didn't they say it before then? They believed it. That's why they went to the manger in the stable, at the stable. Why didn't they say it before they got there? They heard the angel tell them what was the record. But their seeing was the confirmation of what they were believing and what they had heard. And so now it was complete. They heard it from the angels, but they saw it with their own eyes. And listen, I got news for you. When the Lord tells you something, and then when the Lord brings it to pass, you don't have an excuse to continue to delay. You know, some of you say, Lord, if you do such and such for me, the Lord say, I want to do this, I want to do that. And you say, Lord, when you do this, I'm going to do this. And then the Lord steps in and opens the door. The Lord steps in and makes the way. The Lord steps in and does the impossible. And when the Lord gets through doing all of this, then you come up with new excuses. And I got news for you. If you don't do what you told the Lord you're going to do when he would do his part, it's just an excuse. And God doesn't take kindly to excuses, especially after you have promised him, if he does this, you will do that. And so notice here, brothers and sisters, again, and when they had seen it, they made known, here is this next word that's so important, abroad, the saying which was told them concerning this child. God chose by way of angels to tell the shepherds who were in constant contact with other shepherds and moving, and they many times had nomadic journeys moving from one place to another, to tell the story of that the angel had told them of Jesus and that they had witnessed with their own eyes. And so those to whom they came in contact with, they spread that news abroad. Which means they didn't just go around the corner, down the street, or up the road. Everywhere they went, they told somebody, I got a story to tell you. One night late, I was minding my sheep, minding my own business. It was a night just like every other night. I had already taken account of the sheep I had. And I got news for you, shepherds back then not only numbered their sheep, but they named their sheep. And one by one, they had already made their account, and they were rested for the night. But suddenly, something happened. And I got news for you, the Lord likes to do things suddenly sometimes, especially when it's spectacular, comes out of nowhere. Have you ever got a blessing you wasn't expecting from somebody you wasn't expecting it from? The Lord just showed up and just showed all the way out. Have I got a witness in the house? And there we were minding our sheep. I saw old brother John down there with his sheep, and old brother Bill over there with his sheep, and saw brother Donald over there with his sheep. And all of a sudden, the sky lit up, and an angel spoke to all of us at once. And we saw with our own eyes an angelic choir singing the words, glory to God in the highest. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. Peace on earth,
goodwill toward men. Now, I wouldn't be telling you this except I saw it for myself. And I got news for you. When you got a story, you witness for yourself.